Blog Talk Radio.
Amen. And we want to say welcome, everybody, to the Children's Bible Time here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the program tonight, or I should say this afternoon, could be this evening, could be this morning, whatever time zone you're in. We just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome to all our little ones out there listening to the Six Eyes Bible Time, especially geared for you young little ones out there. We just want to say welcome, welcome, welcome. If you wish to call in four. Of course, that number being 515-605-9340. Again, 515-605-9340. Just press the number one once you've called in. Press the number one, and we'll be glad to hear from you, your prayer request, prayer praise, any of those good things, because this is your time, little ones, as we will be getting into the broadcast tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whichever time zone you may be in. So we're going to turn the mic over to Sister Emily as she is going to now take your prayer requests and those good things as we get into the program today. Now, Emily, get your soda pop and get your mic open there. Ruth, her mic is open, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, well, she'll just have to get her soda pop and unmute her own self. Emily, where are you? She must be on the merry-go-round. What do you think?
know, sweetie. Well, let's wait a little bit and see.
She's either on the merry-go-round or over on the teeter-totter. What do you think?
Yeah, knowing her, she's having lots of fun, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Boo-boo. Get on the air there. Boo. Positive she's unmuted, right?
Yeah, got both of you on.
Okay. All right, well, Ruth, since she's kind of doing something else at the moment, well, is there anybody else on the line with us this afternoon?
Got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you, Emily, and me.
Okay. Well, considering we don't have nobody else with us at this time, we will just take your request and mine, and then if Emily joins us, we'll take anything she has.
Well, right now I'm doing all right, and praise the Lord. Excited about this new program. Holy Lord's going to take care of everything, and we'll just have a good time.
Okay. And I do want to just remind all the little ones, their prayers before the throne of grace, once they know the Lord, hey, God, he hears even, yes, you little ones. So don't forget to be praying for the ministry here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. Be praying for all the people who work here. Be praying for, of course, our families, and pray for your own family. Never hurts. And then, of course, pray for Sister Ruth, me, Sister Emily, and all of our country, because our country needs help, and all the countries around the world, all your brothers and sisters who know the Lord, all the little ones around the world, be praying for them. All right.
Hey,
and Sister Emily, you finally got off the merry-go-round and decided to quit playing on the teeter-totter and decided to join us. All right.
No, I was having a technical issue on my end.
Oh, okay, boo-boo. All right.
All right, Yogi. Let's go get the sticks, the picnic basket, see if we can get away with it.
All right. Well, any prayer requests, since I've been handling it for you a little bit here, any other prayer requests you got? We only got you, me, and Ruthie on the line, so go ahead.
It ain't only us. I've got some young people on three-way with me that have their cell phone mute because a couple of teenagers are at work and they're listening in, but they are on mute while working.
Okay. Well, did they have any prayer requests?
I told them I had to hang up. We had to call back in and to put themselves back on mute again, being they are at work. Both my son and daughter are asking prayer because they are remodeling their job, and right now they're running only the drive-thru at Taco Bell in Somerset, Kentucky, and they're about ready to go bonkers.
Well, since they're listening, hey, where's mine? I'll take a couple of, at least five soft shells, okay?
I just heard a giggle out of one of them.
I'll take at least five soft shell, nice Coke, and they could bring that, get that up here. And hey, we got a Taco Bell up here, so if they're willing to offer me some, just send the order up here and let me know when to go to the Taco Bell and get and pick it up. Okay.
And
yeah, you agree with that, boo-boo?
Yeah, Yogi. I think both the young people over here need to send their mama some Taco Bell.
Right. So that's what they'll do. They can send us up some for you, some for me, and some for Ruthie, and we'll have a Taco Bell day. All right. As celebration for our opening show, what do you think? I think that sounds great.
Yeah, let's do it, Yogi.
All right. That sounds like a good picnic basket to me. Yeah. All right. Well, since
Kenny, also they were asking for prayer for me, Mom, and Papa, because they are both down, not feeling that closer today.
Uh-huh.
Also, be keeping a lady named Gail, a friend of mine in my apartment building, in prayer right along with the other residents because there's been a lot of drama.
Okay. Anything
and,
else?
And, you know, as I say, always for our first responders, any medical personnel, patients, wherever they might be, our government, our radio station, our ministry, and the need for a bus.
Okay. Well, if that's it, Em, we're going to let you lead us out in prayer, and then we'll get into our show tonight.
Or whatever time zone we're in.
Yeah, whatever it may be, morning, noon, afternoon, night, middle of the night, whatever. All right.
Okie dokie, Yogi.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I thank you for this first broadcast that we have for our little ones today. Any time zone they might be in, Lord, if they don't know you, let them reel up the white flag, surrendering their little lives to you. For all these prayer requests that have come in, Lord, you know who they are. You've got mail, Lord. I ask you to be with me as some things that are going on in my life, that you give me the grace and the patience to get through things I'm going through, and for our ministry, for Six and the radio station, for Queen Nye and the rest of the gang, that you'd be with us in our appointed places and times that we have to be in. I ask this all in your name, Lord. Amen.
Amen. All right. Well, now let us get into the music part of our program and some good Bible stories, and then we'll be back with you, boo-boo, and we'll let you do the closing prayer. All right, so let us enjoy. All you little ones, get ready to sing a little bit of dance, and we'll have a good time. So here we go.
Hey, Yogi, that's Boogie.
Exercise Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we're going into Psalm 40 and verse 7. Psalm 40 and verse 7.
Then said I, lo, I come in the volume of the book. It is written of me.
And you see how God says he comes in the volume of a book, as it is written of him. And you notice, what book is that? The Bible. 66 books that it's contained in. And it says, he comes in the volume of a book. That's Jesus. He says in John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That's Jesus in the Bible. Found in our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week, Psalm 40 and verse 7. Psalm 40 and verse 7. Amen. Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.org. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. And God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen.
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. B-I-N-G-O, 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 and Bingo was his name-o. Clap! There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. I-N-G-O, 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 and Bingo was his name-o. Pat your legs! There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. N-G-O, 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 and Bingo was his name-o. Pat your tummy. There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was G-O, G-O, and Bingo was his name-o.
Pat your head.
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o. Oh, 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 and Bingo was his name-o.
Jump!
There was a farmer, had a dog, and Bingo was his name-o.
Much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you
Wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much.
Hello?
Yeah, hey, Ruth. I don't know what's going on with me, but I'm so down. All I want to do is sleep and have no appetite. I feel like it's just better to sleep right now.
Sweetheart, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say.
Yeah, Ruth, I wish you really knew what you could say or do, but I'm just disappointed. All I want to do is sleep, and it seems like anybody I talk to doesn't understand it.
I wish I did know what to do, sweetheart.
Well, sometimes friends don't know what to do. It's better to get the professionals to give you the help when you need it. And call the National Mental Health Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Thank you. Hey, baby, I will be there shortly. Hope you Now he'll never make dinner, never again. And several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio.
This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen.
Now for a special little story about Memorial Day.
Hi, kids. It's time for Kids Corner. Get ready to have fun with stories and songs. The doors are opening, so come on in and join your friends at the Kids Corner.
Dreaming, Mr. Lizard.
You mean it never happened?
I suppose you're talking about our crash landing in the parachute.
Yeah, did it really happen?
Thank goodness.
Thank goodness for what? I mean, what are you talking about? What happened in here?
Well, we were playing that new video game Mr. Mac left here.
Yeah, R2-D Tank. I lost, and then we got to thinking about being fighter pilots.
So I suppose you guys were pretending you were in some kind of a battle.
Yeah, only we got hit. And we were falling to the ground, and Jared's parachute didn't open.
I see. Well, fortunately, you're safe now.
Yeah, but what fun that was.
What started all this anyway? Tanks and fighting? I hate it. So violent. We were just talking about my grandpa and how great it would be to be a war hero.
Yeah, and I said I'd like to be a fighter pilot. Shooting all the enemy planes.
That sounds very glamorous, Mr. Lizard, but actually, war is rather horrible.
But it's just so noble, Mr. V. A war hero, saving your country and other countries. It's just great. You can be a hero and fight at the same time.
Well, my dad was in the war, and he told me about it, and frankly, it wasn't all that great.
But he probably didn't fight the enemy or see any action or anything.
Oh, yes, he did, Mr. Lizard. In fact, he saw a lot of action. But he never talked about it as a great adventure. In fact, he thought of it more as a nightmare.
Really? But what happened, Mr. B? Was he actually in battles?
Oh, yes, he was, in many battles. In Germany during World War II.
But that should have been great, shooting his gun and stuff.
Well, when you play with your guns, Mr. Lizard, it looks fun, but when you're actually shooting people who are the enemy, let me tell you, it's not fun. It's horrible. In fact, he only told me a few stories about the war, but one of them was especially sad.
What was it, Mr. V?
You see, my dad went over the ocean to Europe with a whole troop of men on a ship. These men had been together for many months. My dad and this man, Tom, were great friends. They did everything together, and they were very close.
Wow, did you ever get to meet Tom, Mr. V?
I never did, Joyce. Because during one of the campaigns my dad was in, they had to dig a big foxhole to hide in. The enemy was very close. It was dark outside. They didn't know where the enemy was, so they stayed in the foxhole. But during the night, the shooting started, and it was so heavy that Tom was hit. He died in that foxhole right next to my dad.
Oh, how awful. Didn't your dad get help?
He couldn't, Mr. Lizard. The Germans were firing shots over the foxhole all night.
Oh, my goodness, that's terrible. So Tom died and your dad came home?
Well, he came home about a year later, but, you know, it was sad that Tom died and very sad for my dad, but those men preserved freedom for many other people, the freedom to live the lives that they wanted to live.
So your dad didn't like to be a soldier?
Well, I don't know if that's exactly right. You see, he didn't have a choice. During World War II and some of the other wars, the men were drafted by the government, and this meant that you just had to go.
You mean the men just went whether they wanted to or not?
Well, most of them wanted to serve their country, Joy. That's what being a soldier was all about, serving your country.
Huh. Well, do they still need soldiers to serve our country, Mr. V?
Oh, sure they do. We still have all the branches of the military, the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Marines, and there are young men and women serving our country all over the world every day. In fact, I thought maybe that you and Jeremy were thinking about the special day that we're celebrating soon.
What day is that, Mr. V?
Why, Memorial Day, of course.
That's right. It's a day of vacation, Memorial Day, and we almost forgot.
No, I didn't forget. In fact, I think Memorial Day is a very important day. So often we forget about the many people who fought in wars to keep peace in our country.
And there have been quite a few wars, haven't there, Mr. V?
Sadly enough, Jeremy, there have been many of them.
But I never really understood what Memorial Day is all about, Mr. V. I mean, I know we have parades and we put flags on the graves of soldiers who died in the wars, but what's it really all about?
Oh, I'm glad you asked, Joy. You see, I thought it would be special if we could celebrate Memorial Day right here, through music and a special story. It'll help us learn what Memorial Day is all about. Why don't we go first over to the music room and celebrate there, okay?
Yeah, let's go.
Great.
Then let's go.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow, look at this place.
Hey, you like it? Do you like it?
Look at all the flags. Is this why you didn't let me in here, Mr. V?
That's right. I was getting it all ready for our special celebration.
Every state in this country is on this.
No, they're not, Jer. I only see stars and stripes.
I know, but each star stands for a state.
You're right. 50 of them.
Hey, you guys, could you name all the states that are in our country?
I don't think so.
Well, why don't we practice? I've got a song about all 50 states.
Well, let's hear it.
When I was 4, I studied USGeography. The teacher said, would Delaware, Florida, Georgia, then Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, still 35 to go. Kansas and Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, and good old Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, and Montana, then Nebraska, 27, number 28, Nevada. Next, New Hampshire and New Jersey and way down New Mexico. There's New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, now I see. Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee. Texas, then there's Utah, Vermont, I'm almost through. Virginia, then there's Washington and West Virginia, too. Could Wisconsin be the last one, or is it 49? No, Wyoming is the last state in the 50 states that rhyme. Connecticut and more, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, then Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, still 35 to go, Kansas and Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, and good old Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, Missouri, and Montana, then Nebraska, 27, number 28, Nevada. Next, New Hampshire and New Jersey, and way down to Mexico. There's New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, now it's East, Rhode Island, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, Texas, and there's Utah, Vermont, I'm almost through, Virginia, then there's Washington, and West Virginia, too.
That was fun. That was fun. And also, our flags are beautiful, aren't they? But did you know that a flag can also tell us a story?
Well, what kind of a story can a flag tell us, Mr. V?
Well, the American flag tells us the story of our country. And the story of Memorial Day. Because, you see, on Memorial Day, we honor all the people who fought for our country. Our flag was made to tell a story something like that. You see, the 13 stripes are for the original 13 colonies that started the United States.
And I know about the stars. There are 50 of them. One for every state in the United States.
That's right, Julie.
So, there's stars and stripes. Well, what else is in the story, Mr. E?
Well, the colors in the flag tell the story of Memorial Day. The red stripes are for courage, the courage of all the men and women who fought for our country, so that we can all live in peace.
What about the blue color, Mr. V?
Well, the blue can stand for truth or loyalty or justice, but I like to think that it stands for freedom, the freedom that we all have here in the United States to live and work and just to be free.
And then there's white. What do the white stripes stand for?
I think I know. When you want to give up in a fight, they raise a white flag. It stands for, I give up.
Well, that could be part of it, but actually, it stands for peace, Mr. Lizard. The peace that we've had for many years here in this country. While so many other countries have strife and war, we have peace. We have a lot to be thankful for, and much of it is due to these three colors of our flag. Courage of the people who fought for our country, the freedom we all enjoy and live with daily, and the peace that we all seek. So this flag is the symbol of our country, and we do have a great country, don't we? In fact, in our national anthem, we sing about those very things. Let's sing that together.
Thank you.
So on Memorial Day, we celebrate or honor our soldiers and people who fought for freedom. Right, Mr. V?
That's right, Joy. Every year on the last Monday in May, all across the country, people remember the brave ones who defended our freedom. Flags fly at half-mast, and families remember loved ones killed in the Vietnam, Korean, or two world wars. Memorial Day is a day on which we celebrate peace and remember with thanks to God those who have died protecting that peace. See, I have a story about four of these men. Would you like to hear it?
I would.
Yeah. Are they fighter pilots?
No, actually, they were in a submarine, I believe.
Oh, that sounds interesting. Let's go.
Yeah.
Come on, then. I thought you'd enjoy hearing a real story that actually happened.
This will be great. A submarine.
Okay, here, let me read it. It was written by Joanna Strong and Tom B. Leonard. The soldiers in the ship sat up sharply in their bunks. The cry had just been heard, German submarine ahead. In silence, the soldiers looked up, each one concealing as best he could the fear that gripped his heart. And then suddenly, the giant ship heaved and trembled as a torpedo cut a jagged, gaping hole in its side. With a roar, the waters rushed into the hold, and then another torpedo struck, and another. In desperate haste, the men of the USS Dorchester put on their life jackets. When the order, abandon ship, boomed over the loudspeaker a few moments later, the decks were covered with a streaming swarm of men, struggling desperately into life jackets, stumbling, shouting, running toward the lifeboats. As an icy wind whistled through the masts and funnels, frightened men jumped overboard into the freezing North Atlantic. But throughout the terrible confusion, four men calmly went among the soldiers, quieting their fears, encouraging them when they were afraid to jump, steering them to lifeboats and helping into life jackets boys whose hands were too nervous to fasten the strings themselves. Who were these men of mercy? They were four chaplains of the U.S. Army. One, John Washington, a Catholic priest. Another, Alexander P. Goody, a Jewish rabbi. And the two others, George Vox and Clark Poling, were Protestant ministers. These men had joined the U.S. Army of World War II not to fight, but to help soldiers when they were frightened, to advise them when they were troubled. And now, in this hour of greatest need, these four men seemed to be everywhere at once, helping everybody, thinking of nothing but how they could be of service to their fellow men. Many men were rescued from the sea that day, but the four chaplains were not among them. In all the terror and excitement, few had noticed that the four chaplains had taken off their own life jackets and given their life preservers to men who had none. As the ship went down, the soldiers in the lifeboats, turning to take a last look at the sinking ship, saw the four chaplains standing arm in arm, praying. Who knows what they said? The young Catholic priest may have prayed in Latin, the Protestant ministers in English, and the young Jewish rabbi in Hebrew. But whatever their words were, the spirit of what they said must have been the same. What they had done was to give to others without any thought of self. They had all given help to every man who needed help, without knowing what his religion might be, without questioning whether he was Protestant, Catholic, or Jew. For these great heroes knew that an American is an American, regardless of his religion.
Thank you.
kids. I hope that you're thankful that you live in a country where we have freedom. And remember all the people who fought and are still fighting to keep that freedom.
Wow, Mr. V, I feel bad.
Well, why is that, Mr. Lizzie?
Well, Jer and I were just playing at fighting. I mean, some of these men really had a rough time in those battles. I mean, war is really serious. We shouldn't just play at war.
Well, I'm glad you realize that, Mr. Lizard. You know, kids, fighting may be a response that we're forced to do, but it's never the glorious thing that some TV shows make it out to be. The men and women that we're honoring on Memorial Day were standing and defending our freedom. They fought so that we can have peace.
You know, sometimes it makes me all worried and gets me uptight thinking about war, Mr. V. Do you think days like Memorial Day are good?
Well, yes, I do, Joy. Well, I know it's scary to think of war, but it's important that we remember those who fought and what they accomplished. Memorial Day is also a day when we can thank God for our freedom and make a commitment to work hard to bring that freedom to everyone in this country. For whatever reason, there are many people who don't seem to feel this freedom.
Yeah, like the people who riot and make demonstrations and stuff, right?
Well, yes, that's because some people feel oppressed or persecuted. Now, if that's true, we must work hard, just as hard as our soldiers, to preserve real freedom for them. Kids, I hope you are thankful for and proud of the country in which you live. Whether that's the United States, Canada, Dominica, or any other country, wherever you live, ask God to help you respect and serve your country in a way that will make it better. Pray that prayer with the kids here at the Kids Corner. God, make me proud of my country, and make my country proud of me. Wherever you are, enjoy Memorial Day or celebrate one in your own way. Thanks for joining us today, kids. We'll see you next time right here on the Kids Corner.
Kids Corner is closing its doors. Thanks for listening today. Join your friends next time for another Kids Corner. Until then, goodbye.
And now, little ones, it is that time for Bible Story Time with Sister Ruth.
Back to the beginning. Have you ever wondered how everything in the world began? I suppose so. Most boys and girls do sometime or other. Those beautiful flowers in your garden, for instance, sweet peas, snapdragons, asters, hollyhocks, pansies, where did they come from? Seeds, you say. True, but whence came the seeds? some other flowers, of course, and those flowers from still other seeds, and so on, back to where? There's your dog. Where did he come from? We got him as a puppy, you say, and he has a very fine pedigree. So, that means you know his father's name and maybe his grandfather's. But how about before that? One thing you can be very sure of. Your dog's grandfather was once a puppy, too, and he had a father and a grandfather, and so on back to when. Then there's that rooster in your neighbor's yard that's crowing all the time. Where did he come from? An egg, you say? Right, but a hen laid that egg, didn't she? To be sure she did, and she came from an egg herself. Not so long ago, and that egg was laid by another hen, and so on, back to what? Then there's yourself. Where'd you come from? Oh, you say, Mother brought me home from the hospital. I suppose she did. But Mother was a little baby once herself, wasn't she? And so was her mother, and her grandmother, and her great-grandmother, and so on, back to whom? Think of the mountains, too, and the wooded hills, the flowing rivers, and the sand on the seashore, all the wonderful things of nature. Were they always here, just as you see them now, or did they have a beginning? And if so, when and how? Many great men have tried to explain these things, and they've come up with all sorts of strange ideas and suggestions, most of them far from the truth. There's only one place where you will find the true story, and that is in the Bible. If you open this wonderful book, you will find that the very first part is called Genesis, meaning the book of beginnings. Here, you will find the answer to all your questions. And that reminds me of a little girl I know. Once I asked her which chapter of the Bible she liked best. I thought she would say the 23rd Psalm, the one that begins, "The Lord is my shepherd." But no, she said the first chapter of Matthew. "I suppose you like it because it tells about how Jesus was born," I said. "Oh no," she said. "I like it best when it's all about the begats." "The what?" I asked. "The begats," she said. So I opened my Bible and turned to Matthew chapter 1. And there it was. Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Judas, and so on. I asked if she knew what it meant, and she said, "No, but I do like the begats." So I told her it meant that Abraham had a little boy, and Isaac had a little boy, and Jacob had a little boy, and so on. But I think she still likes the begats best. Then I told her that, put the other way around, it would read, "And Jacob had a daddy, and Isaac had a daddy, and Abraham had a daddy," and so on. She liked that better, but wondered how far back the story goes. I told her that what Luke says about it. In his third chapter, verse 34, Luke picks up the story at Abraham and carries it back farther and farther and farther. He tells us that Abraham was the son of Sarah, which was the son of Nahor, which was the son of Serach, and so on. Such strange names, but they were names of real boys in the long, long ago. Then, having told us the names of Abraham's great-grandpa and great-great-grandpa, and so on, Luke says that Enos was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which, how very, very wonderful, which was the son of God. There the story ends, and it ends there because it cannot go any farther. It goes clear back to God and stops. And that's where you go back to, and Daddy and Mama, and everybody's Daddy and Mama, everybody's Grandpa and Grandma, everybody's Great-Grandpa and Great-Grandma. They all go back across the years, across the centuries, to God. Not to a monkey, not to a tiny tadpole in the sea, but to the great and glorious God who made the world and man,
And that's exactly what we read in the first words of the first chapter of the Bible, in the beginning, God.
All right, little ones, it's that time to have a little time with Uncle Bob.
Greetings from the Arctic Circle. I am the Arctic Fox.
Alex, right?
It's me, Uncle Bob.
Alex, the Arctic Fox, welcome to Nature Corner.
Thanks so much. Glad to be here.
Oh, it's super having you. I love your beautiful white fur coat.
So do I.
I understand.
It saves my life when the temperature drops to 60 below zero up in the Arctic Circle.
Ooh, is that how cold it gets where you live?
Oh, yeah. When the wind blows fiercely, the temperature just is over 100 below zero.
Oh, that's how cold it feels, right?
Yeah, that's what counts to a fox or a human.
Chill factor. Hey, a boy wants to know where the Arctic Circle is located, Alex.
It's a big circle that surrounds the North Pole. Inside this circle, there's a part of Alaska, Northern Canada, Greenland, Sweden, Norway, Finland, and the Soviet Union.
Oh, that's a good geography lesson. I counted 7 countries in the Arctic Circle there.
You got it, Uncle Bob, and I have relatives in every one of them.
Neat. Do you ever visit them?
Some of them, yes, but not all. That would be too far.
Well, how far do you travel?
I've gone 1,000 miles before.
Whoa.
But my average trip is 400 miles.
Well, I never heard of an animal that traveled that far, Alex.
That's because there's no land mammal that travels as far as an Arctic fox.
No kidding. Didn't know that.
Oh, it's true. Only you humans travel farther than us foxes. But you've got cars and jet planes. That's not fair.
Why do you travel so much?
Food? During the long winter months, after nearly all animals and birds have gone south, my foxy friends and I wander over the frozen Arctic Ocean ice pack looking for something to eat.
Mm. And you keep going till you find some chow, right?
Yeah, Usually my buddies and I follow a couple polar bears.
Why do you do that?
Yeah, the big white bear is powerful, and he can catch seals and walruses that come up through the pack ice for air.
I see. Are you saying he lets you eat some of his food?
Oh, no. He'd wipe me out with one of his big paws, Uncle Bob, if I got too close to the critter he caught. I just wait till he's eaten all he can. Then he lumbers away, and I trot in to eat up the leftovers.
Do you usually find enough to satisfy your tummy?
Oh, yes. The polar bears leave little scraps of meat for me, and that makes my day.
It also makes your dinner.
Good one, Uncle Bob.
I just happened to think of this, Alex. You and the polar bear are both white.
Yes, that was no accident either, Mon. The Creator God knew we needed to camouflage with the snow so we could both sneak up on our food without being seen.
Yeah.
I'm also protected from other critters who'd like to eat me.
You blend in with your winter environment beautifully. But what about the summertime when the snow is gone?
My fur turns brown, then.
Oh.
I just look like the earth.
How do you change fur coats?
In the spring and the summer months, there's a lot of sunshine. In fact, the sun never sets in the Arctic Circle during summer. This large amount of sunlight sends a signal to a gland in my body that causes my white hairs to fall out and brown hairs to grow in.
What a neat scientific design. That way, when the snow is gone and the Earth colors show, you match them perfectly.
Then when the daylight hours become short in autumn, my brown hairs begin to fall out and white ones start to grow in again.
The lack of sunshine tells your body to produce white fur now.
Yes, and by the time I'm snow white, so is the ground around me.
Just at the right time.
Perfect timing by Christ, my perfect creator.
You've got it. Say, how thick is your fur coat, Alex?
4 to 5 inches thick along my back and sides, Uncle Bob.
Whoa, you sure it's that thick?
Just rub your hand over my back and see.
Okay. You're right. And it's so soft and warm, too.
My master designer caused my thick coat to trap air between the hair.
Air between the hair. Explain that.
Okay, my fur coat is super thick, and it traps the cold air between layers of hairs.
And it doesn't let the cold air get down to your skin.
That's exactly what happens.
Oh, boy. But what about your body heat? Do you lose much body heat?
Oh, no, no. My fur coat, again, acts like several layers of insulation to trap my body heat close to my skin.
Neato. Your fur coat is a two-way insulation blanket, then. It traps both the cold and the warm air. Keeps the cold out and the warm in.
Notice how big my fur coat makes me look, huh?
Yes, I do.
Well, how large would you really be if you didn't have your thick coat?
The size of a kitty cat. Meow.
You're kidding.
No, I'm serious, Uncle Bob.
But you look like a small dog, not a cat.
Fur coats do strange things for people and for arctic critters. It saved my life more than once.
Because another animal thought you were really larger than you actually were.
You're right. I'm really only a foot tall, and my body is a foot and a half long.
How about your pretty white tail?
Nearly as long as my body, about 18 inches.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm thankful for that tail, because when I cozy down in the snow to go to sleep, I wrap it around my little black nose and keep my face nice and warm. It's also a rudder, and it helps me steer myself while running.
Super. Alex, the Arctic fox, are your legs especially short, or is it because you have so much fur on your tummy?
No, my legs are short, about 8 to 10 inches long.
Mm-hmm, just what I expected. Why are they so short?
So they don't lose heat. A pair of long legs would radiate a lot of body heat into the air. And first thing you know, Alex the Arctic fox's legs would be frozen. I couldn't run. Soon I'd be dead.
So you were designed to have short legs for that reason.
I was engineered by the great creator, Uncle Bob. He knew I'd be living in a cold wasteland where the wind chill gets colder than 100 below zero.
Yes. Say, a girl wants to know if your feet ever get cold as you run across the ice pack on the Arctic Ocean.
Never.
Really?
Yeah. The Lord God gave me a pair of insulated socks to keep my toes warm.
I don't see any socks, Alex. You'd better explain that.
I have long hairs on the bottom of my feet.
Oh, okay. Hold up your paw for a second.
Sure.
You shake hands nicely. Well, I can't even see your toes or your toe pads. All I see is a lot of thick white hair.
Hey, that's my pair of insulated socks, Uncle Bob. My little toes are toasty all the time because of that special design.
Mm-hmm. You've got a kind designer, Alex. He even cares about your feet.
He cares that I don't slip on the ice and wipe out, too.
Oh? Explain that.
So these hairs act like special treads.
Snow and ice tires, huh?
Right on. They give me traction. That's super important when I want to stop fast. Like when I'm following the polar bear on the ice and he stops suddenly.
If you didn't have your hairy treads, you'd slide right into his huge paws.
And he'd eat me right on the spot, Uncle Bob, without ketchup or mustard.
What humor. Alex, a boy wants to know if Arctic foxes have long, foxy ears, you know, like a red fox's.
No way. My ears are very short, like your pet kitty cat's.
How come they're so short?
Being so close to my brain, my ears would naturally have a lot of blood in them. If my ears were long, there would be too much surface area to lose heat from my blood, and soon I'd freeze to death.
But instead, they're short, and there's very little surface area to lose heat from your blood.
Another example of a wonderful engineering job on me, Uncle Bob.
Mm-hmm. By a very wise and kind creator.
The Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ.
You've got it.
Hey, did you notice how furry my ears are, too?
Yes. Not only on the outside of your little ears, but also on the inside. It's amazing you're able to hear anything.
What? I heard you were, Uncle Bob. I was just playing.
I know you were. How much do you weigh, Alex?
7 pounds.
Like you said, about what a kitty cat weighs.
Yes, less than a snowshoe rabbit.
That's right. The big white bunny lives with you in the Arctic, doesn't he?
He sure does.
You ever try to catch him?
No way. He's too big for me. He weighs about 10 pounds. I only munch on what the polar bear leaves, or during the summertime, I'll dine on birds and their eggs, or also catch lemmings.
Lemmings look like little hamsters, don't they?
Yes, and there are millions of them up here in the Arctic some summers. And that's the most popular food for me and my foxy friends. If there's a large supply of lemmings, my wife and I have a large family of baby foxes.
But if there aren't as many?
A small family of Arctic foxes, or maybe none.
Mm.
See, the Lord God taught us it would be dangerous to have a big family if there was only a small amount of food available.
Ooh, how wise.
What a wise creator, Uncle Bob.
Oh, you better believe it. Tell the kids and me about your family, Alex.
Sure. After mating, it takes 52 days for the baby Arctic foxes to grow in mommy's tummy and be born.
If there's a lot of food available, how many babies might Mrs. Fox have?
As many as 25.
25? Whoa!
But the average is about 10.
That's still a large family.
Not when the babies are the size of mice.
They're that tiny when they're born?
That's right. They're born so tiny and blind and helpless.
Where are they born?
On riverbank or on ridges high above the ocean shoreline, there are dens that have been used for many, many, many years by Arctic foxes. My mate and I just find one that isn't being used. We go in there and set up housekeeping.
Boy, that's interesting.
Some of these dens have 100 or more entrances, Uncle Bob.
Many ways in, many ways out if you're attacked.
You got it. See, the master designer made Arctic foxes smart, man.
No, you know it. What time of the year are the baby foxes born?
Anytime in April and May, just before all the animals and birds migrate up here for the long summer.
Why do you choose to have your family then, Alex?
More food available.
Okay, I see. When all the other animals migrate into the Arctic tundra for the summer, some of them can be your baby foxes' dinners.
Right on. We try to time the birth of our young foxes with the migration of the other crows.
So when they're ready to eat, plenty of food is available for them.
Yeah, because 10 or 15 babies can get powerfully hungry.
You sure are wise, Alex the Arctic Fox.
Oh, don't give me the credit. It's the Lord Jesus Christ my Maker taught me. Give him the glory.
Will do. While the babies are tiny and their eyes are still closed, who feeds them?
Mama nurses them with her rich milk.
Does she go out and hunt for food?
No, I do all the hunting for 2 weeks. Come back to the den, regurgitate the food.
You bring it up?
Yeah, and Mama eats it and makes milk from it and feeds the babies and they grow strong.
Neato. What a beautiful family plan. Togetherness.
Again, my Maker gets the credit. He taught us how to survive, Uncle Bob.
When are the little fox cubs large enough to go out on their own and hunt with you?
In about a month and a half. By then, lots of little critters are hopping and flying around. Plus, there are wonderful, sweet berries growing. We love to pick berries. They're so good.
I love them, too. Alex the Arctic Fox, this has been a most enjoyable and educational visit today. Thanks so much for stopping in.
We're glad to do it, Uncle Bob. Bye-bye, kids. Come up to the Arctic and see me sometime, all right?
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Holiness Bibles for the Blind is a missionary outreach to the physically and spiritually blind, providing reference material as well as Bibles, as well as other material to help those who are visually inconvenienced. Also, we educate those in the body of Christ as to the needs and abilities of those who are visually inconvenienced. We would appreciate a love gift from you to help us keep our ministry going. There are several methods you can do to help keep us going. First off, you could visit our website, holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. That's HOLINESSBIBLESFORTHEBLIND.ORG. Once you put that in your browser and you click enter, go down the home page to where it says Love Offerings. Click that. And you will be on our secure PayPal button and secure PayPal page. You there can use your credit card or PayPal account to give a secure donation to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. Also, you can send a check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind. You send that to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. Again, send your check or money order to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, made payable to Holiness Bibles for the Blind, P.O. Box 471, Ashtabula, Ashtabula, Ohio, 44005. and God will richly bless you for your love gift, and we here at Holiness Bibles for the Blind thank you very, very much. Amen. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Success Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Success Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and finally, we're going to turn this now back into the hands of Sister Emily for our last prayer request, if anybody is new on the line, and, of course, our closing prayer. Ruth, is Sister Emily with us yet?
Yeah, she's there.
Okay. Well, Emily, you got to open up your mic here and unmute yourself.
I'm unmuted.
Okay, there you go. We'll take it away.
Just a few minutes ago, Kenny.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to ask the listeners to be keeping this 93-year-old lady that just fell in her home and she went unresponsive and they cannot get her to respond.
Okay.
Also be keeping me in prayer because right during the show I got smacked with a migraine.
All right. Well, Sister Ruth, who do we got with us on the line?
Well, we always got the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels. We have you, Emily, and me.
Sister Lila must have dropped on us.
Yeah, you had mentioned she was on there earlier.
Yeah. Well, if she would have held out just a little longer, she would have been able to give her prayer request, but, well, she guess she just didn't want to wait.
She might get a chance to be on the program next time, huh?
Well, hopefully she enjoyed what she did here.
Amen.
But anyways, since obviously Emily had the only new prayer request there, any others, Em?
That was it, hon.
Okay, well, why don't you give us a closing prayer? And then we would just want to invite everybody to the Six Eyes Station 1 for tonight for the Wednesday night Bible study, 7 p.m. Of course, the number you call for that is 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. That's 7 p.m. Eastern here tonight at the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Hey, Kenny.
Yeah.
Could we get Sister Ruth to do the closing prayer, please?
All right. Well, then, you heard the lady.
Okay, I can do it. All right, dear Lord, we love and praise your name, and we thank you for the new program we have here. I hope all the kids are enjoying it. It's really sweet. Be with Emily and her migraine headache, and the lady she was talking about that they're having trouble getting response out of, like I was reading about in this article I was reading, you've got this. I believe you'll take care of it for this lady and Emily and anyone else who needs help. You're the best to ask for help. And thank you, Lord, for what you've been doing to help me. Wish I could get my sugar controlled, though. That's what I have a prayer for. And pray for Kenny gets better. He's been coughing a lot. So, yeah, we just want to praise and bless your name, Lord. Thank you for the program. Amen.
Amen. All right, we'll catch you all later this evening. God bless everybody.
God bless everyone.
God bless.